Oh my goodness, we're playing a little music here. Signed, sealed, delivered this afternoon. How you doing? Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with you on WCRS. Hey, you know, have you ever wondered what is John De La Howe School? Have you wondered what they're doing over there? How many students they have? What type of programs they have? Well, you're going to find out all about it this afternoon right here on WCRS. We have the president of John De La Howe with us this afternoon. Tom Mayer, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Ann. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. There's nothing like a little PR to bring attention to your school over there.
Absolutely. Good PR is hard to come by, but I have no doubt we'll get it with you.
Absolutely. I certainly hope so. Now, you have been, let's talk just a little bit about you. I was just asking you, where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Norristown, Pennsylvania, a little community about an hour north of Philadelphia. But I've lived here in South Carolina for over 20 years now.
And I don't know if that'll qualify you as being a South Carolinian. I've been here for over 30. Tom, how did you end up down here in South Carolina?
Well, after about an eight-year stint in the Army, I decided I would come back to my family's roots. Both of my parents born and raised in Prosperity, South Carolina.
I've always wanted to have an address in Prosperity. Yeah. Can you imagine a business address, Prosperity, South Carolina?
Right.
Yeah. So your parents are both from Prosperity?
Absolutely. Wow. And have family here and came and fell in love with the place and just never left.
That's terrific. Yeah. Now, you've been working for public service for 25 years now. What have you done?
Well, for the past 3.5 years, roughly, I've served as president of the John De La Howe School. And prior to that, I served for about 22 years with the state's two-year college system, our technical and community colleges, working for the governing board out of Columbia, South Carolina.
Are you glad you're at John De La Howe?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's a lot of politics, I imagine, being on the board for the technical schools.
Well, I served for the board. I was an administrator. Okay. I was on the staff there. But just the quiet countryside of McCormick is a pleasant place to be, I have to tell you.
Absolutely. So. Now, what did you go to school for?
I have a master's degree in project management, and my undergraduate degree is in business administration and management.
Well, where'd you go to school?
Limestone College here in South Carolina in Gaffney,
right.
And I did my master's work at Western Carolina.
Oh, very good, very good. So. Well, did this job come open and you just decided to make a move, or?
Well, it did, and probably 15, 20 years ago, I really had my entree, if you will, into working with young people through the Department of Juvenile Justice, doing some part-time work with them, as well as Department of Social Services. And I really discovered that, number one, I could make a difference, that I could have an impact. And so it just became part of who I realized I am in terms of my ability to give back to others.
So you did volunteer work in this?
I did, and worked for 5 years, and I say work, but it was volunteer service with the Richland County court-appointed special advocates, which are guardian ad litem. I did that for 5 years. Where I'd be awakened from my sleep at 5 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning.
That has to be a really rewarding work, though.
Absolutely. There's nothing like seeing the light in that child's eyes that tell you you're making a difference with them and that they understand and recognize that they're working and talking with someone who cares about their issues. It is very special.
It has to be difficult when we look at the family unit and how it has, I'm going to use the word, kind of spiraled down to what it was 20 and I'm sure growing up in a family and this type of thing and what we deal with today. It certainly is a whole lot different, isn't it?
Well, it's much different, I think. The challenges that I think our youth face today are much different than what youth faced 50 years ago, certainly 100 years ago. And as you well know, The John Dale House School is a long storied history, dating back some 215 years. Children change. Society changes.
Society definitely changes. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, and programmatically, we have had to change to accommodate that.
Absolutely. Well, being at John De La Howe, I think we should give a little history of it. It really is quite fascinating why it's named John De La Howe. About, 1797? Is that right?
1797. Dr. De La Howe, who immigrated from France. As a doctor to the Charleston area, and then gradually made his way to the McCormick area, to Lethe Plantation, which is where the school is based now. And in his incredible wisdom and desire, I mean, as you read through his will, you realize he had great foresight, quite frankly, I think, in terms of what society's responsibility is to its youth. And so in his will, he talks specifically about providing for children who need to be separated from families for whatever reasons. And again, we know that things have changed a lot in 200 some odd years. And so those reasons are much different today than they were 200 years ago. Essentially, he wanted the school to serve as a place to help young people so that they could go on to be productive citizens in society. And we hold true to that premise today.
Well, the truth of the matter is, if we don't save our youth to be able to go on, and on my morning show, we quite often talk about becoming taxpayers as needed by the U.S. government.
Right.
It's a pretty sad state because we can't continue to pay without having money coming in. So if we can turn our youth into productive citizens, then, of course, they will become taxpayers, and then, of course, there will be money to fund the government. It's a circle.
Absolutely. And certainly I think that for many of the children that we work with, they're at a crossroads. And so the services that we provide really help in driving the decisions that they have to make ultimately for themselves about which direction they're going to go in life. And so we don't want them to take that wrong path.
Absolutely.
That ends up to, for society, a more costly venture through incarceration, et cetera. So we focus on the issues that they present with in terms of behaviors, the family issues, the traumas, et cetera. That's our focus, and as well as their education.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be a fascinating conversation. We are going to be right here with Tom Mayer, and he does have a couple of students here we might ask their opinions of, too, as we continue this conversation this afternoon. One thing, when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about the layout there. They have 1,200 beautiful acres over there. So I want to talk some about that. I want to talk about the programs. And of course, if you have a question, don't hesitate to call us 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
All right, we are back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking with Tom Mayer, who is the president of John De La Howe School. He had a lot of experience, I would have to say, after talking to him a little bit on working with students that really need some help. Now, a few things you should know about John De La Howe: it's the oldest institution in South Carolina and second oldest in the Carolinas, having been established in 1797. And that, of course, was part of the will of Dr. John De La Howe, a physician. who was born in France, migrated to Charleston, and eventually ended up in McCormick. Now, I have asked some questions why he ended up in McCormick. Nobody's exactly told me the story, so it should be an interesting one. I'll have to work on getting that at a later date. But today we do want to talk about the school here and what's happening. Now, I just did want to touch, though, when he died, they buried him right on the property.
That's correct. His tomb is right there on our property.
And I was talking to the students, and they said it was interesting but creepy, too. So, and they did a dig on that, right, overlooking the property where he was from, too?
They did. And in fact, we have a great number of artifacts housed in our administration building from that dig. And they say spooky, but or creepy, but it really is. I mean, if you're a lover of history, then I certainly think you'll find it very interesting.
Now, can people come there and see these things?
Yes.
Do you have to have an appointment, or how does this exactly work?
We would ask that you come and check in the administration building and sign in, but it is part of the network of trails that the state has. The scenic trails, and so they certainly can come on and do that.
Now, these trails, are they like bike trails or hiking trails?
No, hiking trails, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's so is John De La Hell like a, it's public property?
It is. It is a state-owned property.
Okay.
Yes.
And so I guess over these last few years, probably you've seen cuts in financing to fund what goes on over there.
Well, like all state agencies, I mean, we are in the midst of recovering from deep cuts from several years ago. But I think by and large, we've had a supportive legislature. Who are funding us to the extent that we can try to recover. However, it doesn't happen overnight. It was an agency that, when I came on board 3.5 years ago, roughly, had a lot of uncertainty hanging over it and a lot of fear. And staff had been cut pretty dramatically. And so you don't recover from that overnight.
No, you don't.
But we're making very good progress, I think, in terms of doing that.
Now, what exactly is on the property? You have, with 1,200 acres, you certainly have, I'm sure, a lot of area to be able to do some gardens. And do you have your own livestock? What do you have over there?
We do. We have about 40 head of cattle. We have, I believe, some 15 horses and goats and certainly farming. Takes place, and our students participate in that as part of our experiential learning program, in the equine program, of course, and helping to care for and then ultimately learning to ride horses. And so a lot of hands-on activity. We have a greenhouse on the campus that we are looking to restart here in the coming months. So a lot of great opportunity, I think, for hands-on work with our students. And we're trying to forge some partnerships to help in these endeavors with various entities.
I think you've just done a partnership, haven't you, with the McCormick Arts Center over there?
We did. Through a generous grant from the Self Foundation, we were able to do a number of things, and we were fortunate again this year to get a grant, another grant from the Self Foundation, and we'll continue to partner with the MAC there in McCormick and other entities. We also work with Lander and Erskine and partner with them in a number of activities with our students as well.
That's terrific. These are the type of things that can really make a difference for students, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. I think that so much of what we have to offer, many of our students would never have that opportunity, quite frankly. Now, not to say that all, but many certainly come from backgrounds of need. And would not realize those opportunities in their communities at home, quite frankly.
Now, how does a student get to, you have them living right there on campus, on your campus?
Yes.
How does a student get chosen, or do they apply? How does it work as far as becoming a student at John De La Howe?
Well, there are various avenues for that. Many of our students are referred by school districts from across the state, and we do serve students from all 46 counties of the state. As well as parents who are looking for solutions seek us out. Other state agencies, such as Department of Social Services, Juvenile Justice, and others refer families to us, as well as medical providers.
Now, the kids that come, are they kids that are bad actors, just have bad relationships with their families? How would you kind of describe?
Well, and bad isn't part of my terminology in working with kids, quite frankly. I think that certainly our students have present with behaviors that are challenging for the schools and the communities and families that they come from. And so that is why they are with us, by and large.
To be able to change their behavior?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a staff, a behavioral health staff, with master's level clinicians that meet with every student on that campus at a minimum of twice monthly, and work with them through the various issues that that they're challenged with.
Okay, and how about how results driven? I'm sure this campus is. How are the results?
Well, I think I would have to say that you don't always know what your outcome is.
Okay,
you can have a good sense based on the issues that presented with that child, and by the time they're leaving us a year or a year and a half later, or is in some cases 3 years or more. But we have to do a better job of tracking our students. And we're putting some things in place to help do that now.
So there are avenues. Well, this is going to be, we're going to talk more about this. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We are here with the president, Tom Mayer, of John De La Howe School. We also have two students sitting in the wings, and certain comments are made, and their facial expressions are quite interesting. We're going to ask them some questions when we come back. So don't you go away. Right now, it's time for South Carolina Radio News. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. We've just been reminiscing about Mac Arnold, who, of course, was on the air with us. One of our students with us here loves to play the guitar, and we were talking about maybe seeing what we can do down there for John De La Howe. So fascinating stuff here. You know, we have two students here, and C is, she's a junior at John De La Howe, and I was just asking her when she graduates, what does she want to do, and C, what did you tell me you wanted to do? Turn that microphone, there you go.
I wanted to join the military.
You wanted to join the military, and what branch of the service would you like to join?
The Air Force.
Why the Air Force?
Because I'm a military brat.
You're a military brat. Are you a South Carolina military brat, or are you from all over?
I am a South Carolina military brat.
Oh, okay. All right. So I guess, are both your parents in the military, or just
yes.
one?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am, they are.
Okay. And are they in the Air Force?
My stepmother is in the Army, and my father's in the Air Force.
Well, that ought to make for an interesting relationship.
Oh, yeah.
I bet it does. Now, you have any sisters or brothers?
I have a lot. We're a very big blended family.
Big blended family. And going to John Della Howe, I understand that you like, what is the subject that you like?
I like math.
Okay, but what do you like to do in your spare time?
Write poetry and
write poetry and read. Now, that's an interesting combination. Interesting combination.
Yes.
And what would you like to be when you're finished with the when you grow up in the military here?
If I cannot be a pilot, air traffic control.
You hope to be able to continue writing poetry, I hope.
Yes.
For sanity, right?
Yes, ma'am.
That sounds great. How do you like being at John Della Howe?
I like it a lot. At first I didn't, but I got used to it.
Yeah.
It's very life-changing for a teenager. Yes.
For a teenager? I'll bet. Now, how long have you been there?
A little over 8 months.
8 months. And now you go to McCormick High School, is that right?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I go to school on campus.
On campus. Yes. On campus. Okay. So I guess, do you have a small class then?
Small class? It is small.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how do you find the classes?
I get more one-on-one time with the teacher. Very concentrating. I get work done fast.
You get work done fast?
Mm-hmm.
So are you ahead of yourself then as a junior?
No? A little bit.
A little bit, are you? Okay. So when will you finish your junior year?
I'm still going to finish in June.
Okay.
But if I was on regular time and when I wanted to finish, I'd be done by December.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Now, how do you, what activities do you find most interesting at John Della Howe?
The equine therapy, which is the horses.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Cool.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know anything about horses before you took that program?
I did.
You did. Okay. So you came with a little bit of knowledge here.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay. So you get to ride and everything?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
All right. That sounds good. So do you feel when you leave John Della Howe that your life is going to be, I'm going to use the word, more better?
Yes, it will.
Yeah. Do you think that they have given you skills to cope?
I have, because we do life skills every day that I will keep for the rest of my life.
That's wonderful. That really is wonderful. I'm glad to hear that because, you know, I know you don't have a lot of students over there, Tom. How many students do you have right now?
Probably a little over 70 or right at 70. It's a moving target every day.
It's a fluid fluid situation.
But at maximum capacity, we would probably be serving about 130 students. And part of what we've been challenged with is bringing our student living facilities back online. And so we've been making really good progress with the 12 cottages that we have on campus. We're down to remaining work on two.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the end of this calendar year, we will probably be up to about 100 students.
I'm sure the need is there. I'm sure the need is there.
Absolutely. And certainly we can't serve every student. And we get lots of applications. Probably on average every month, we're probably looking at between 30 and 40 or more applications. But we cannot serve every student. There are issues and challenges that that preclude us serving some students. But we work very closely with those families to try to find solutions for them.
Now, is this? Do the students have to pay to come there?
There's a nominal fee, and it's based on family income.
Mm-hmm.
It ranges from $50 to $350 a month. And again, it's based on family resources.
Sure. And so do you take a student in the middle of the semester?
Yes.
You take one at any time,
I guess. Year round.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
What happens in the summer when there's not school going on?
We have school through the summer.
Okay.
So we do not shut down. We take an extended break of maybe a 2-week break for our students,
mm-hmm.
And to give our staff an opportunity to kind of regroup. But we have summer programs.
Now, I went to a prep school for 3 years, and one of the things that we had to do at this prep school I went to, we had an activity, and it was called Dummy. And it really was domestic work, and we all had to do. I think my very first job as a sophomore was doing pots and pans. And every day I had to wash all the pots and pans that were used for lunch. It was lunchtime. It was a lunchtime deal. So do you have to do that type of, do you have work that you have to do? Jay, what about you? Do you have chores, shall we say, that you have to do?
Oh, yes, definitely. Cleaning up our cottages that we have to sleep and live in, basically. Those are the types of chores we do. We clean the kitchen, we clean the hallways, clean our rooms, of course. We actually eat in the cafeteria that most throughout the week we do.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us can actually have jobs in the cafeteria. I have a morning job there. What is your morning job? It's just helping around in the cafeteria, just cleaning up after everyone's finished and things such as that.
And do you get paid? Do you get money for this?
I do.
I mean, I just got the joy of cleaning pots and pans.
Yeah.
But you get paid? That's cool.
I do.
Yeah. And now, Jay, you are in what grade?
I'm in the 10th grade.
And you're in the 10th grade. All right. And how have you found being at John Dillahow?
It's been very helpful. I've been able to gain the resources that I've needed. I've been able to find some help that I've surely wanted. And it's just a great help for my family and I both.
That's great. So looking forward to going back home?
Oh, of course. I'm a little bit homesick. It's always hard to be able to leave home, but yeah.
Yeah. And how long have you been at John Dillahow?
A little over 7 months.
7 months. And I understand you like to play the guitar.
Yeah, I really do. It's a fun pastime.
Yeah, it is. And so I guess now I need to ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to become a businessman in marketing.
Well, we've just recorded this, so someday when you look back on your life, you'll have a video that you can go back and see if that's exactly how it turns out. But that's pretty cool. So you want to be a businessman. I commend you very much. We need more people in business. But what would you like to do as far as being in business?
I want to help businesses be able to build a better foundation for going out and collecting people to come into their business.
What do your parents do?
My mother and my father, they're separated, but my mother, she is a midwife, South Carolina midwife, and she loves her job. She's been doing it for quite a long time, and she's a good thing.
Right.
So.
That's good. That's good. Okay. So, I mean, I'm just interested how you decided to get, why business? That's why I was curious. I mean, see here, she has military. She's a military brat, so she under, but I was just curious how you might decide to go into business. That's just kind of neat.
My mom told me that I would be really good for it. She saw some things from how I act and things like that. That would be good for business. And my father was in it for quite some time, so I got to see some experience from that.
Okay, that sounds great. I was my father was a traveling salesman, and my parents used to dress me up and go. We went to shows, and I used to say that it was like a song and dance here, you know, because I had a little. They put a little hat on me, and I'd stand there with my clipboard and say, "May I take your order?" And so I guess that's how I got into business. I kind of grew up in it. So it's always interesting how people find the path that they want. Absolutely. Just out of curiosity, what did you want to be, Tom?
Well, you know, I think when I was the age of these two young folks, I probably thought about being an attorney or a physician.
It's not the path we end up with, is it?
It just isn't. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade anything, you know, where I'm at right now for anything.
Absolutely. Well, this is a really fascinating conversation here today. I hope you all are enjoying it. Right now, we are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Everyone knows Sharp Facets Gallery only carries the finest in jewelry. But did you know we offer the three R's? Repairs, replacement, and restoration. Repairs from sizing to stone replacement. Restoration of your treasured pieces to their former beauty. Or revamping or restyling by resetting your stones in new mountings. All repairs are done by our master goldsmith, Richard. Only Sharp Facets Gallery can provide you with both quick turnaround and professional, reliable reliable service. Come see us at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass or call 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. You know, some of the things, they do have different events over there at the John De La Howe, and it is a place that you can go and go hiking. And I understand, do you have a lot of beautiful trees over there?
Oh, absolutely. It's a gorgeous campus, quite frankly. A mix of hardwoods and softwoods and just...
Well, they say that the leaves are going to be absolutely fantastic this year because of all the rain and everything that we had. So I wanted to tell people that maybe if you want to go hiking or something, they should come over to your school area over there.
Absolutely.
And what would be a telephone number if somebody wanted to call and get some more information about John De La Howe, or they're thinking about coming over there and going on some of the trails? What would be a telephone number?
Well, they can call my office directly, and that number is 864-391-0414.
Okay. And so they can call the office there. And you all have a website?
We do. www.delahowe.k12.sc.us.
That's a long one.
It is.
Can you just put in John De La Howe School?
You surely can.
Okay. I recommend that you do that, folks. Just put in John D-E-L-A-H-O-W-E School, South Carolina's Home for Children. Now, now, what grades do you actually have there? What age children are there?
We serve children in ages, quite frankly, from 12 on up through 21 in independent living programs. And, of course, middle school and high school grade students.
Now, over at Connie Mack, they have cottages and they have house parents. I mean, what is the structure? How is it structured there at John De La Howe?
Very similar to what you just described at Connie Maxwell with our house parents we call residential counselors.
Mm-hmm.
And who live in the cottage with the children. And help with their life skills and hold counseling sessions with them. So we really try to leverage the group dynamic and positive peer pressures.
Positive
as opposed
peer pressures,
to
I like that.
Negative peer pressures that
it works both sides, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So now one of the things that how I actually heard more about John De La Howe, since I didn't know that much about it, was Barbara Hinkle, who does an etiquette class. And Jay, I would just like to ask you about the etiquette class. I mean, I understand using utensils, how to dance, how all these type of things. How did you find that program?
Actually, they just asked if I wanted to sign up for an etiquette class, and they put down my name, and I was there for it.
And how was the program, though? What was your first idea about going in this program? Were you thrilled to be going into an etiquette program?
I was more like, oh boy, I'm going to become a fancy little person now.
That's what I would think. Yes, yes.
Yeah, it was changing, really. They taught me how to eat properly. Mm-hmm. Everything was proper in this class, yeah.
And then don't you have a dinner dance at the end?
Yes, at the end, when we've collected everything that we needed to learn, we have this, I guess you could say, a formal party.
Mm-hmm.
And we just eat dinner with everyone that was in the class, and we dance to some songs that was there for us, yeah.
How do you think that prepares you futuristically for life, particularly somebody that wants to go into business and marketing? I would think that that would give you a big leg up on how to go and have a business dinner meeting or something like this. How does your confidence feel now?
I feel much better about it. If you can show that you know what you're doing, people will see that and they'll take it as, hey, this guy knows what he's doing. So I think it's a very beneficial factor that I was able to have this class.
Absolutely. I think that's terrific. And, of course, Barbara is such a fun person. We've interviewed her on the radio. What did you think of Miss Barbara?
She was like a second mother to me. I mean, she was such a fun person to be around. She taught me so much, and she even did more than just the etiquette. She taught me how to just talk from person to person, and she just helped me out a lot. She taught me some things that a mother would do for their child.
That's terrific. That is good to hear. Now, see, what did you think of the, did you take the etiquette class?
I did.
You did? Okay. Did everybody have to take the etiquette class, or did you sign up and say, yes, I want to do it, or no, I don't, first off?
It was just a sign up.
You sign up. But how many kids were in the class, roughly?
20?
Maybe 20? That's a good-sized class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So how was this class for you now, from a girl's perspective here?
I liked it.
Yeah?
I got more comfortable around boys.
Okay, well, that's good. And how about your confidence of, you know, when you go out, if you went on a date or something futuristically, would you feel a lot more confident about what all these pieces of silverware are on the table and such?
Yes, so now I know when I go out to parties and elegant dinners, I won't look like a fool using a salad fork for my meal.
Exactly. It is amazing, isn't it? All those things do have a purpose, yes. So, well, I think that's terrific. And Barbara spoke very highly of the class that she taught out there. But, Tom, you know, you do have a reunion group. You have people that have been there before. The word has escaped me at this moment. What is this group called?
Our alumni.
Your alumni group. That's right. And I would think, I know at Connie Mack that the students come back that have gone on, come back over and over to support and be there at events and this type of thing. What type of effect do you have from your alumni?
Well, I think it's tremendous, and it's been that way from the time I've set foot on the campus 3.5 years ago. They were the first group of folks that I met with, quite frankly. I mean, because they wanted me to know that I had their support, and they are a very supportive group. Ronnie Davis is the president of the Alumni Association, and they're incredibly active in sponsoring events that help raise monies for the school, and they're incredibly passionate about John Little High School.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just incredible to hear their life stories and growing up at De La Howe and experiencing something much different than what our children today experience.
Sure.
On the campus with, because of course, 50 years ago it was more of a self-sustaining
operation. It was a farm,
really,
wasn't
right,
it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And so,
that was,
of course,
the place I went to school. It was a farm. No.
Right. but they sponsor a number. In fact, we just wrapped up an alumni golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And they sponsor several of those throughout the year, as well as some fishing tournaments and other events that help raise money for our students.
Sure. Now, is it in the spring that you have the Dairy Barn, the Dairy Festival?
The Dairy Festival in, mm-hmm, in the spring, and then we've got an event upcoming. Our Farm City Days, which we host for elementary age students from around the surrounding communities.
Sure.
We get so much tremendous help, quite frankly, from the surrounding communities, Greenwood and Abbeville and Edgefield and McCormick, certainly. And so we try to sponsor some events that give back to the community as well.
Sure. Now, see, let me just ask you, I know you look forward to the day that you leave, but I presume that you're going to have some good memories about being here and what John De La Howe has given to you. Do you plan to stay in touch?
I do. I plan on being a resident counselor while I'm in college.
Well, that's very nice. That's very nice. Where do you want to go to school?
At Lander University.
At Lander. Well, that's right across, just literally up the street here from us. So I guess then this experience has been, I would use the word, awesome.
It has.
That's terrific. You know, there is nothing like seeing somebody that has been able to change their life.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Well, that's great. Hey, I tell you what, real quick here, Jay, how about you? Are you going to plan to stay in touch with, remember, you're on video right now, so do you plan to stay in touch with John De La Howe after you leave?
I think I will, yes.
Yeah? That's good, because being part of an alumni and being part of an organization are good life skills, and the relationships that you form for your future. So I think that's great. Hey, I tell you what, Tom, this has been an awesome experience for you to come out here today.
Well, I certainly appreciate you having us. I'm always excited about talking about John Little High School. So I thank you, Ann, and certainly thank the communities that support us day in and day out. It's life-changing for the staff there as much as it is for the students.
I'm sure it is. Someday I'll have to come out and down there, and we'll have to go out and check everything out down there.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. That's going to do it for us. Bye-bye, everybody. Be back tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, the I Love Ann Show. Don't miss it. Bye-bye, everybody.